Got my first real six string. Boiled out the five and dime. Played it till my fingers bled. Was it summer of 69?
Yeah, summer officially arriving today.
Boy, that song.
I just realized he's 40 years old this week. Summer of 69. 40 years old. Wow. Hey, welcome to your Friday morning. Mother Nature would rather reward farmers and gardeners with a good drink this weekend by the looks of it. So your outdoor plans may have to be altered by tomorrow afternoon and certainly into Sunday by the looks of it right now. And I know it is the last weekend for flag football, who've already had a few games wiped out earlier this season of flag football because of either weather or air quality conditions. But should be able to get tonight's last few games in tomorrow morning. More games, depending on when the rain begins, might get them in. You'll have to check your team Snapchats and find out from your coach. But today should be okay. Yes, summer arriving today. In the fall or winter, we talk about it like a lost friend. And here it is. It's my favorite season of all. And lots of people starting to think about summer vacations, that's for sure. But last night, we were all thinking about wicked weather, tornado action right across the province last night. Difficult for Environment Canada to confirm entirely. They are looking at something like 8 different tornadoes right now, they told us this morning. But many of you and a few professional storm chasers were out there busy sharing on social media what you witnessed firsthand. And all the action seems to start, I don't know, somewhere between 4 and 4:30 yesterday afternoon. The first report of a tornado was near Hirsch, which is about 2.5 hours away from us in the southeast corner. It touched down a couple minutes. And about that time, there were reports of loony-sized hail and in the White City area. And then just after 5, we were getting reports southwest of Davin, which is a half hour away from Regina. Tornado formed, touched down near there. Courtesy of Gary Hoffer on social media, I saw a great photo of the tornado he saw near La Jorde, about 40 minutes southeast of us, past Chrono there. The one that looks most like you see in a disaster movie, like the movie Twister, might have been that one spotted near Frobisher from Connor Croft.
Whoa, strong! Strong tornado! Just to the right.
It's moving southeast, Connor. It's moving southeast. Oh my gosh, a rainbow in the shot, too.
Connor is actually a U.S. storm chaser that was on the side of the border. Frobisher is about 2.5 hour drive from us here in Regina, deep in that southeast corner, about a 30-minute drive, maybe due east of Estevan and kind of west of Oxbow. There's also action from Brandon Kopik, who caught the same action. He's a storm chaser.
Hay bales get tossed like toys in front of us, chat. Power lines down. Incredible tornado.
Yeah, that's the tornado that I was just talking about in the southeast here. But what did you see from where you live? Text me, 1-877-300-7275. And of course, please, if you have any photos or great videos, text them to me as well. We'd love to see, and hopefully you'll let us share them too if you do send them. 1-877-300-7275. What did you see on your commute or on your farm or from your window last night? Any wicked weather or some tornado action? Hopefully everyone is safe. And some of those, as I just played for you there, it looked like it was right out of a movie in that southeast corner of Saskatchewan. But here we are, Friday. It's the last day of finals for high school students. Last week of school, next week for everyone. I want to congratulate hundreds of students who graduated from Sask Polytechnic yesterday, too. More grads will continue this weekend as well. And there is a ton going on in our community again here this weekend. Hotels pretty jammed up. There's this big FC Regina Summerfest. That's a huge soccer tournament. That's on over at the Real District Cooperator Center. And today, Regina's National Indigenous Peoples Day celebration will take place in Victoria Park. It'll start at 10 o'clock. Half the park is going to be kids' zone activities. There's going to be Inuit games, powwow teaching, face painting, button making, something for everyone. It starts again at 10, and it always looks great with that grand entry, which will be about 10, 15-ish, and then the grand exit about 12:45. So lots of entertainment. And again, parking's at a premium. It is downtown Regina right now. And I believe city transit is free. If you tell them you're going to the park, in downtown Regina. It's free for those who want to go. Just let your driver know you're taking part in the celebration and your fare will be free. Take a blanket or lawn chair, organizer said as well. It's summer. Sun's out. Summer arriving today. This is my favorite season. All you watermelon heads who love the Riders, pretty jacked up to wear a jersey maybe to work today. And after all, the Riders are in Toronto. It is game day. Joining me now is Grey Cup champ, Green Zone analyst, Belton Johnson, who's also coach in the Flag Football League. I was just talking about that, buddy. You got a game tonight or tomorrow morning?
Well, we play tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon, Greg.
Oh, dear. Well, we got a game tonight, our kids. But at one early tomorrow, I think the rain might be a problem by tomorrow afternoon. We'll have to wait and see. Fingers crossed it won't, because we lost quite a bit of ball this week, this year, haven't we, in Flag, because of air quality or weather?
That's right. The air quality got us down, but we were able to get some of the – well, we were able to get that game back and everything. But I'm going to tell you, it's a heck of a league. And, you know, talking to some of my players, I had practice last night with the Rider game being tonight. And the players, like, they were, you know, like, coach, how many more practices we got? I'm like, this is it, guys. And it was almost, you know, just a sad feeling. But, hey, we're going to go out there and give it our all this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I wish you well, buddy. I wish you well. All right. From Flag Football to the green and white tonight. The Argonauts, they are banged up. The Boltman, I believe, without at least seven starters. A couple special team studs are out, too. And Chad Kelly will not be a quarterback. It's Arbuckle. This should be a win, shouldn't it?
This better be a win. And, you know, when I look at last week when the Riders, you know, they beat the Ticats, but they barely got through. And I thought the Riders played down to their competition. So this week, Greg, I'm hoping that the Riders come out strong and finish strong. And I can't see the Argos winning this at all, Greg.
Well, I know you love your kickers too. So, were you? I was on vacation last week. Were you hard on Mr. Lothar, or did you take it easy on him?
I came out hard on him. Then I had to settle down.
He's gonna settle in. He's gonna be fine.
He's gonna be fine, I think, and I think this will be the game for him. To get back on track here and everything.
Joe Robustelli, this is the guy that has gotten the attention of a lot of people, including you.
He definitely got my attention during the, the preseason there. I can't remember exactly how many catches he had. It might have been like 8 for over 100 yards or whatnot that last preseason game. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to bring to the table here with Ben, with the starting group. Because he is one of those depth players that I thought could make an impact for this team. And guess what? He gets his chance tonight here, Greg.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. So overall, I think this is going to be a runaway for the Riders. It's going to be something like 30-something for the Riders. Do you want to give me a score on this one?
I would love to, Greg, because I'm with you. I think it'll be a runaway. I got a score of 37-15, and I don't know why I gave the extra 5 points to the Argos. Just maybe, I don't know. 37-15 sounds like a good one for
kickoff. 5:30 Green Zone pregame show starts at 3:30, and don't forget after the game too. The best in the biz, there he is, the champ. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game tonight.
Hey, have a good one, Greg.
Yes, 50 years ago today, Jaws became a worldwide sensation and a huge blockbuster success. It would terrify an entire generation out of the water. Pools, lakes, bathtubs, suddenly nothing felt safe when you saw the movie Jaws.
What we are dealing with here is a perfect engine, an eating machine.
This shark, swallow you whole.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Iconic line. Jim Beller is a collector and author of Steven Spielberg wrote forward to his book. And Jim joins me right now from Boston. He's owner of one of the largest Jaws memorabilia collections in the world. And It's my favorite movie of all time, and I know it is yours, my friend. How big is your collection, Jim? Do you remember even the first piece you started collecting?
Oh, yeah. Over the years, I've just been collecting since 1975 when I saw the movie when I was 9 years old. When it first came out, I saw it the second weekend it opened. And after that, I just wanted everything about Jaws. You know, the game was out at the time, puzzles, different toys. I look at it now. Back then, we didn't have VCRs or Laserdiscs at the time, or, you know, Blu-ray. So whenever I bought something, it was like bringing the movie home with, like, and I would think about the movie whenever I was looking at a magazine or a book or playing with a toy or something like that.
Anything in your collection that's from the movie set itself?
I actually have two of the original rubber teeth from the shark that I got. John Dwyer was a set decorator, and I got a letter from him with the tooth that said he ripped it out right after the Quint attack scene.
That's so cool. Just to let everyone else know, there were three mechanical sharks or two mechanical sharks used in the movie?
There were two mechanical sharks. One was a sea sled shark that they towed. Whenever you see the sharks swimming in the movie going by the boat, that was towed by Lynn and Susan Murphy, who were islanders that they hired.
Yeah.
They would tow the shark next to the boat. Whenever you see the shark come out of the water, jumping out of the water with its mouth moving, those were mechanical sharks. So that's one of the teeth that I have.
So where do you keep your collection, Jim? In your basement, or is it so big now that you have a lot of it in storage?
I have over a couple of thousand items. So I have a storage facility that I keep a lot of them in bins. Some of the things I have an office, and I call it my Jaws office. And Jaws fans get to come over and look at all the stuff that I have here at my house. But I'm also selling stuff right now. I've been doing it for a while now on Etsy. It's a Jaws Collector page on Etsy.
That's awesome. Jim Beller is founder of JawsCollector.com. He's the biggest collector of everything Jaws. I'm jealous. Now, don't take this the wrong way, my friend. Just answer this question here. Do you have family members that find your collection as interesting as you do that actually want this after you're long gone?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay, good. So there is someone that might care as much as you do.
Yeah, some of it's worth a lot of money.
Your book, Jaws, Memories from Martha's Vineyard, your book is on my coffee table. It's a compilation of photos, articles. It's a must-have for any Jaws fans like me. Either from that book or what you've learned, Jim, since its release, what's your biggest nugget of Jaws making of trivia you could share?
There's one scene, you see how close they were to the island. Because originally people thought, and I thought, they went way out off of Martha's Vineyard, the shoe out in the middle of the ocean. They literally didn't. They were close to shore all the time. Off of State Beach where they filmed the 4th of July scene and Alice Kittner's attack. Mm-hmm. People on that beach could look out and see the orca right there. So there's a scene in the movie where, you know, the Robert Shaw is bashing in the radio with the baseball bat. Roy Scheider's like, you're certifiable, Quint, you're certifiable. If you look in the background when he's saying that, the boat is going up and down. You look at the window, you can see the outline of the island, how close they were.
Excuse me, Chief.
That's great! That's just great! Now where the hell are we, huh? You're certifiable, Quint, you know that?
Jim Beller, my guest. I don't know if anyone listening is as big of a fan of Jaws as Jim and I are. I'm loving this conversation. Should Steven Spielberg ever pull a George Lucas in your mind and use the tools of AI and CGI to enhance the original at all?
No, I think he learned his lesson because he did it with E.T. and afterwards he regretted it. Towards the end, he didn't like the officers when the bikes were about to go up in the air. The police guys had guns and he took them out during the re-release of it back in like 2000 or whatever. And a lot of people were in uproar saying, oh, they shouldn't do this and all that. So he's since then said he regretted doing that with E.T., so he's never going to do it again with any of his movies.
Jim, with it being the 50th anniversary today, how will you celebrate Jaws?
I'll probably watch the movie like I did, you know, 50 years ago. I saw it the second weekend it opened, actually. My mom and dad saw it opening night. They made sure it was okay for me to see it. And it was the first time I've ever saw a line of people going to the movie. I was shocked. It was an event.
It's fun to remember how we used to line up at theaters because I always worried about the guy that worked there coming out counting people to say, okay, this is the cutoff. It's sold out.
Yeah.
Jim, what a pleasure to have you on my show this morning to celebrate Jaws. I appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's great talking to you.
Officially arriving today. Had to have some Beach Boys in here this morning to recognize that's for sure. But also, looks like the weekend's going to be a little wet. And last night, lots of tornado action around the province. Difficult for Environment Canada to really confirm how many in all. I know last we spoke with them, they said they were looking into at least 8, and they use social media as much as you and I do. And professional storm chasers from the U.S. were even on this side of the border, and we got some reaction from them, too. But really, it seemed to start about maybe quarter after 4, 4:30. That was when I saw the first report of a tornado near Hirsch. 2.5 hours away from us in that southeast corner, it touched down a couple minutes. And about that time, there were reports of loony-sized hail in the White City area. And then after 5, we were hearing about southwest of Davin, which is a half hour away from Regina, a tornado formed there and touched down. And courtesy of Gary Hoffer on social media, there's a great photo of the tornado he saw near LaJorde, and about 40 minutes away. LaJorde is about, 40 minutes away? Southeast of Regina here, past Chrono there. And the one that looks like it's right out of the Twister movie, to me anyhow, is the one spotted near Frobisher from Connor Croft. He's a storm chaser from the U.S.
Whoa, strong! Strong tornado! It's just to the right.
It's moving southeast, Connor. It's moving southeast. Oh my gosh, a rainbow in the shot, too.
Yeah, Frobisher, 2.5 hour drive? From us here in Regina, in that southeast corner, it's about 30 minutes, I think, when I look at the map here, east of Estevan, west of Oxbow. But, man, that looked like a biggie, too. There's another storm chaser, Brandon Kopic, who caught the same action.
Hay bales getting tossed like toys in front of us, Chat. Power lines down. Incredible tornado.
If you have any video or pictures to share, tell me where you're from and what you saw. 1-877-300-7275, please. Well, the Riders play tonight, kickoff at 5:30 in Toronto. Green Zone pregame starts at 3:30. And I know the Edmonton Oilers met the press yesterday. Is their captain coming back? Connor McDavid showing very few cards so far.
Winning would be at the top of the list. And then, winning would be it's the most important thing. If I feel that there's a good window to win here over and over again, then signing is no problem.
Okay, so that's what he said it would take to re-sign, but don't worry, Oiler fans. He did leave a message for us.
My message to the fans would be to keep being patient and keep believing. You know, they've been through a lot, obviously, as you said, just like, you know, our team has, you know, the emotional highs, the lows, you know, and, you know, I look at what these playoff runs do to my family. It's hard on them. It's hard on the fans. It's hard on everybody. But ultimately, when that day comes, it'll all be worth it.
Don't freak out, because Draisaitl did the same thing. He signed an 8-year extension. I have no doubt McDavid is staying. He's just trying to apply pressure to the organization to make some moves that matter. And he made it clear that the future should include defenseman Bouchard. Does that sound like talk from a guy who's not going to resign? Not at all. He'll be back. I'm not worried at all. Meanwhile, the party continues for the Panthers. Brad Marchand and the rest of the Florida Panthers, man, they were going hard last night. It's all over social media, X and TikTok feeds. Marchand was on Instagram. He was on Instagram heater last night. He was posting pics of all his teammates tagging their former teams and thanking them all. CJME News Time now is 6:28.